So then the question goes, okay, well, if I'm not going to heaven, but I'm trying to return to God, well, is it paradise, right? And is this another option? Is this a holding place?
That question comes to mind when you hear Jesus say that he's going to paradise. The thief is going with him to paradise today, like the day that they're dying, they're going there. So this is not like something in the future when we're talking about new creation. This is something today. Welcome back to the Rheology Podcast. Rheology is a nonprofit ministry that is centered around rethinking, researching, and rediscovery, a process that dives deep into the depths of an intimate partnership with God through a concept Jesus initiated called ecclesia. We strive to cultivate an environment that is not only safe to question and seek, but also one that is founded on the truths of partnership, words of hope that were uttered from the lips of Jesus himself. So in this podcast, we'll question Christian tradition, we'll investigate God myths, and we'll listen to those who are stirring, questioning, and desperately seeking more of what God is doing in and around us each day.
Hey everybody, it's Scott here with the Rheology Podcast, and of course, Rheology itself, and that guy right over there, that's Brandon. Hey Brandon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Almost said morning.
We're not recording this in the morning. We have crazy schedules right now, so we're recording this in different times. And obviously, we're not putting out a podcast every Tuesday.
Yeah.
And I actually am drinking coffee.
Oh, nice.
And I've got it in my Georgia mug here. This is my Georgia Star. Well, not mine, but Robin's, my wife's Georgia Starbucks mug where they did the state theme stuff. So this is in homage to all my Georgia friends. I was in ministry in Georgia for 3 or 4, 3.5 years, and had some good times. And
did you ever replace that one you dropped and shattered?
No.
Didn't you? Oh, which one was that? Indiana that you dropped?
I might get a new one. Cause my college buddies were getting together in a month. So my buddy, Derek Willoughby, bought me a Magic Morning, bakery mug,
oh,
which
that's
is
right.
the old bakery in Bedford.
Yeah.
And the size of the mug was my favorite. It's kind of more of a tall mug and stuff like that. This is my favorite. Dropped and shattered, broke my heart.
Sorry to bring it up again.
Yeah. Thanks a lot. I could remember those steps the counselor told me to remember when I started feeling bad.
Okay. All right.
Well. What do we got today? I'm afraid to ask. We've talked about this already, but go ahead and I'll just kind of squint and flinch as you say it.
All right, here's the question I'm wrestling with recently, and it's about a particular word that's repeated in several places in the Bible, but probably most famously when Jesus is on the cross and he is talking with the thief next to him. And he says, truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. And it's that word paradise that I'm curious about. What exactly does he have in mind when he's talking about paradise? I think traditionally I have always just assumed that meant heaven. But the more I dig in, the more I'm questioning whether that's what he meant by that.
Yeah. let's say this first for anybody who this may be their first entry into this podcast. Let's make sure we make this disclaimer before we really go any further. Because as you and I have said many times in this podcast that, you know, Christianity has been influenced by a lot of outside influencers and culture, and so forth, what we have right now in the 21st century is a little bit of a hodgepodge of really probably what they had in the first century or the second century, or maybe even into the third century. We know for a fact in those first couple hundred years of the early ecclesia, this early movement of Christianity, there was a serious effort on trying to make sure the message was pure. And so there were people that literally, one of their biggest jobs that they kind of went for and was drawn to was to make sure that even other teachers of Christianity, they would basically try to keep them in check. And then we've said that before, like what was one of the biggest hurdles that the apostles, even, you know, through the book of Acts and stuff, what was one of the biggest things they dealt with? And what they dealt with was false teachers. Yeah. So this is not, you know, we can't blame this on, you know, the medieval era. We can't blame it on Constantine. We can blame a lot of things on Constantine. Can't completely blame it on Constantine, because this stuff has been happening. And it's just kind of human nature. And it's just the way it is. I mean, back in youth group, we used to play the game, the telephone game, right? Where mm-hmm. we would have everybody sit in a big line or in a big circle, and you would tell one person one thing, and they would have to whisper it to the next person, and the whisper and whisper, and it comes all the way around. And what ends up happening is it's nothing like what the original phrase was. And that's just an illustration to the human aspect of things, so that we tend to screw things up. And so it's important to, I think that's why we have the Bible, is because we can continue to go back to it and go, oh, wait a minute, we've kind of gotten away from some things here. So there are two things that I would say we need to make sure we understand, is that, and we've said this before a bunch, the Old Testament is full of God saying, I'm holy. He's surrounded by creatures saying it. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Right? Holy, holy, holy. And holy means, as we've said 100 times, different, mm-hmm. unique. It doesn't mean unapproachable. It doesn't mean perfect. It doesn't mean pristine. It doesn't mean sacred. It means unique. It means different. And he is saying, I'm different. You've said it before when we talked about sacrifices, you know, and when God himself says, I don't require sacrifices like the other gods. I am not driven by hate or anger. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not sitting here on the verge of killing everybody. And if you don't sacrifice, like King Kong, we'll keep him at bay, but we'll give him a sacrifice and that'll keep him happy for another 6 months. He is different. He's not like the other gods. What's he want? He wants community. He wants partnership. He wants to love, and he wants to be loved. And so Jesus comes then, and so then we have another idea that Jesus is trying to dispel, and which is this idea of kingdom. And the Jews believe that the Messiah that's supposed to come is supposed to come and bring an actual kingdom with an actual king like David, and Jerusalem will be the jewel of the world again, and they will be on top again, and yada yada yada. And Jesus is going, no. The kingdom that I'm bringing is the kingdom of heaven. And what does that mean? It means one realm and the other, and another realm coming together again. Partnership, love, to be loved. And so what you're kind of teasing on is the idea of what happens when we die. And you got two dudes that are being executed, and they are hours, maybe a day or two from actually meeting their end. Jesus is one of them. And this other guy, this other bad seed guy, he is too, and so is the other guy. But so the question is, what happens when we die? Because what is paradise? If what we have said is kind of to be true, that another dispelling that we're trying to get rid of right now, because Christianity went through an Hellenistic period, meaning that Christianity went through Greek culture. Mm-hmm. And so it kind of got blended a little bit with Greek philosophy and Greek ideas, and and Greek theology as well. And so therefore, you and I both were raised thinking, hey, you know, one of these days when we die, we'll, you know, we're either going to heaven or we're going to hell. Mm-hmm. And it's, and our destination is primarily determined on how good we were on this planet. Kind of. Well, we have to go to church and we have to be with God, but we also have to, we can't sin. Therefore we can't do anything bad and we have to do everything right. We have to be holy because that's what we thought holy meant. Be blameless.
Right.
And so, so it's not partnership. It's separation.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
He's up here, we're down here and I got to be really, really good. And so I can eventually go up here to him.
Yeah. Once we die, we're going either there or the bad place. I mean, that's the story I've known my entire life. And maybe that's partly my fault, but, and so then when I bring that understanding, that very surface level understanding to this phrase, today you will be with me in paradise. It's just always been my thought. He's saying, okay, when we die, we're going to the good place.
Going to heaven. There we go. Is paradise a substitution for the word heaven?
Yeah.
And the answer is kind of, and kind of not. And I would start by saying, and we've said this before, you have to be really, really careful with the word heaven. And you shared with me a YouTube video with NT, our good old buddy, Tom.
Tom Wright.
Shout out to you, Tom. NT Tom Wright. And he makes that same idea, right? It's like, hey, if you want to call it heaven, I guess, okay, but you need to be really, really careful. Reason why you have to be very careful is the same reason why you have to be careful with the word church, as you said, is because when you say the word church, people in our culture immediately think of a building with pews or seats, and that's where we go, and that's where we sing, and whatever. Heaven is the same thing, because heaven then can be turned into, you know, by default, that's where God lives.
Yeah.
And the reality is, as we've said before, it's really a very generic term.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it can mean sky for crying out loud.
That's what it means in Hebrew, right? When in the Hebrew Bible, when they're talking about heaven,
it means realm. It means realm. The default definition is realm, and that realm can be the realm above us in the sky, right? The realm below us, right? I mean, the realm among us, and that's kind of like when Paul is talking about, like, I got caught up into, you know, the third
heaven
or whatever, and oddly enough, the word there is this Greek word. So we have to be careful calling it heaven and saying, yep, that's what today you'll be with me in heaven, because we immediately go like, oh, cool, I'm going to God's place and where God lives, and I'm going to live there with him until whatever's next, you know, or that's it, right? It's either the end goal or it's
I think that was my tradition. This was the end state. Once I die, I'm in heaven. That's the end state. But I think that's where you're going with this. That's not really the picture.
No, I think, and the thing that old Tom Wright says is like, what concerns us now is since we've been kind of like, okay, cool. So there is, the end goal is not to go to heaven. And the end goal is not to go to hell. And now you're telling us now that maybe there's not actually a hell. Okay, I'll kind of go with that, which that's what you and I believe, that there really isn't a hell. And the end goal is not to go to either one of those places, because there is a such thing as new heaven and new earth. And we understand that the beginning and the end are the same, right?
Yeah.
That's the beginning is the way it's supposed to be. You know, sin came in and broke that up, and now we're trying to get back to that, and God is restoring all of creation. So cool. Okay, we got that. Cool. But what if I do die tomorrow in a car accident, and what happens to me? Where do I go until, as Tom Wright says, what's he say? He didn't say first death and second death. What did he say?
He calls it bodily resurrection quite a bit.
Yeah. He said bodily death and bodily resurrection, right? Mm-hmm. So bodily death is when we die in our bodies, and bodily mm-hmm. resurrection is when we have a new body. So cool. Those are bookends to mm-hmm. the specific subject. What's going on in the middle? What's going on there? And I would look at, and he actually brought this up, which I figured he probably would, but so I told you that I had taught a class at a teenage week of camp in Indiana. It's my home camp. I did it for my friend Derek Willoughby. Again, another shout out to him. Man, he has no clue. He's just getting blown up on this podcast. It's awesome. So we talked about this kind of stuff, and we talked about like the idea of how weird it is to think about like what happens after, right? Yeah. And so one of the verses that I had, I had some of these guys take some of these verses, and one of the verses obviously was Genesis 2, which Tom Wright talks about, which is God forming man out of the dirt, right? And then he mm-hmm. blew into his nostrils the breath of life, and we know that is ruach in the Hebrew, and that's, and I'm not going to go all Hebrew here. I don't want to spit phlegm of coffee on my microphone, but
just means
it's
spirit,
ruach, right? Yeah, ruach and or pneuma in the Greek, which is spirit. And as we've talked about, it's like that's what like animates humanity. That's what makes humanity human.
Yeah.
Right. Is God breathing in his very own spirit into us to give us a spirit that's and what Tom Wright talks about, which I think is really cool, is like those two things now are forever connected.
Yeah.
Even if I don't believe in God, it doesn't mm-hmm. matter, because I am only a human being because God animated me.
Yeah.
So I have like God DNA in me, which is really cool to think about. Regardless whether I believe in him or not, that ties us together. And so we have that, and then we have Ecclesiastes 12, which he talked about as well. And this is the Message version of it, which I love the way that Eugene translated this. This is Ecclesiastes 12, 6 and 7. It says, life, lovely while it lasts, is soon over. Life as we know it, precious and beautiful, ends. The body is put back into the same ground it came from. It returns to where it came from. And then the spirit returns to where it came from, God who first breathed it. And so right there is, and Tom Wright said it, is like that's a really good illustration and understanding of creation and decreation, right? In the decreation process, your body goes back to where it came from, and what animates that body to make it human, to make it truly human, is the spirit that God put into you and a part of himself to make you now returns to him. And so some people, as Tom Wright said, some people might look at that and go, hey, well, there it is, man. We go to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
We go to heaven.
Our souls go to heaven.
Right. Our souls go to heaven. And he talks about the word soul as well, because, and I said that too in this class, let's be very, very careful here, because, you know, when you see the word soul in the Old Testament,
nephesh,
it's nephesh. Yeah. It's nephesh. And so that means the whole body. It's almost like thinking of like the Titanic, you know, and I think we've talked about this before, but the mm-hmm. Titanic sinking, and the newsflash would be Titanic sunk in the, you know, Atlantic, and over 1,200 souls were lost. That's mm-hmm. the idea we're talking about. Not 1,200 spirits were lost.
Yeah, not disembodied versions of ourselves, just our whole being. Yeah.
Right. So when we say like neshama, which is spirit, and we look at that, I think we get those confused, right?
Yeah,
we call the spirit our soul, and then that's okay. That's okay to say that, as long as we mean the same thing. But it's unfortunate when we read it
right,
in Hebrew, in the Old Testament and New Testament, and go, oh, okay, that's my soul, like as you said, my soul that's leaving my body. No, it's that is so that's your whole thing. That's everything. Your heart, your mind, mm-hmm. everything, right? Your spirit as well. So, so then the question goes, okay, well, if I'm not going to heaven, but I'm trying to return to God, well, is it paradise, yeah. right? And is this another option? Is this a holding place?
Yeah,
and
because I mean that question comes to mind when you hear Jesus say that he's going to paradise. The thief is going with him to paradise today. Like the day that they're dying, they're going there. So this is not like something in the future when we're talking about new creation. This is something today in Jesus's mind.
Yeah, this is not the end goal. This is not what Jesus is talking about or what we will come to know as new heaven and new earth and complete, you know, total completion, right? Or returning back to the beginning. And the beginning that we're saying is the picture that we see in Eden. Oddly enough, though, I didn't watch the rest. You tell me if good old Tom mentioned this or not. But oddly enough, the Greek word for paradise here actually means
garden.
Garden.
Yeah.
And a lot of times it's referenced. Did he?
Yeah.
He did. Okay.
And
a lot of times yeah, go ahead.
Tim Mackey also has a whole sermon. I think I've sent you this sermon in the past because it was also one of the most impactful sermons I've ever heard, where it's all about the word paradise and how it's a callback to Genesis 2 and the garden. Same word, same word.
Right. Yes. Yes. And a lot of times, you know, the word paradise for the Greek or the Hebrew as well, would be literally translated as the Garden of the King. Yeah. So, you know, so there's a lot of wordplay going on here, right? Jesus being brilliant, basically. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure it's like super literal, like, hey, God's created this holding cell. Mm-hmm. It's nice. It's not a cell. It doesn't have bars and concrete block and stuff like that. It's nice. It's a garden, actually. And you're going to stay there for a little bit until we have everything right. I just don't. I don't personally believe that this should be taken literally. And I'll tell you why, because it's also well known that in this culture, they already thought of paradise as like another like level of Sheol. And Sheol, we've talked about that, mm-hmm. right? And so therefore, again, we've got a little bit of a cultural folklore thing going on that like, okay, well, when we die, we go to Sheol. Everybody understands that. That's common knowledge. Whether that's actually true or not, I don't know. But in their culture, that's what they thought. Just like today, if someone dies, like, well, they're in a better place. We say those kinds of things. And we don't really know that or not or whatever. It primarily is just something that helps us move forward. Mm-hmm. And that's cool. That's fine. Same thing here. So Jesus is using an interesting word to describe what's getting ready to happen or whether it's just a symbolic way of Jesus saying, you know, what we have come to understand as the actual main thing that we should be thinking of. It isn't on, well, where do we go when we die? I know that we're super curious about that. I am too.
Yeah.
But the main thing that we should be thinking of is, you know, this whole idea of Emmanuel, God with us. And the idea that Jesus coming to earth establishes that the ecclesia, the partnership. And that is the most important piece. So when Jesus says, today you'll be with me in paradise, you know, I just don't think that's a literal way to look at it, that we're going to a specific place. And I would also say that like in John 14, when Jesus is you know, the heading of this section is Jesus comforts his disciples. And I'm like, well, what, why is he comforting his disciples? What happened? You know, what's going on? Well, it's probably because Jesus is lowering the boom on what's about ready to happen. And we've talked about this in the past as well. But this is when Jesus says, you know, don't let your hearts be troubled, because if you believe in God, you believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms, mm-hmm. and I'm going there to prepare a place for you, right? And so that I will come back and I'll take you to be with me, that you will also be where I am. Yeah. And again, another idea of, is this literal?
Yeah.
Because this sounds very similar. Today you will be with me in paradise. I'm going somewhere, and you're going to come too. It's the same kind of idea.
I don't think we're
going somewhere.
I don't think, was it Audio Adrenaline? I don't think they did us any favor with that song. My father's house? Playing football there.
Yeah, we're going to play football, streets of gold, pearly gates. There's a big house, lots of food, pizza.
Big house, yeah.
Anchovies.
Yeah, big house, that was it, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
Big house, my father's
lots
house.
Lots of rooms.
Lots of rooms. And again, as we've talked about that, I would say the same thing about this, is like that particular story that Jesus is saying in chapter 14 there is wedding imagery.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody really thought, you know, that Jesus is actually coming back because he's going and building a house for us.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe they did. I gotta take that back. They probably did, because this is before he died and he resurrected and came back. So they probably did, but they probably look back on that now and go, oh my gosh, that's what we do in weddings. We do. Why didn't we see that? You know? So for me, I think once again, Jesus does a really masterful job of taking everyday ideas, human ideas for that culture anyway, and human terminology, and kind of twisting it to help people to see a different side of things. Consider this, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's always, I want you to see things from a different perspective. And for me, you know, today you'll be with me in paradise is one of those things of really Jesus probably just saying, you know, you're going to be with God finally, right? We're reestablishing the connection here, the partnership. And you're going to experience that, not, hey, we're coming and we're going to go to this garden and you're going to just sit there and wait with all the other dead people. And, you know, I just don't, that doesn't add up for me at all. I think it's nice imagery. Again, I'm thinking, I didn't live, you know, 2000 years ago. But from what I've read and what I've listened to and been taught, this culture is not unlike our culture. And it's humanity then, it's humanity now. And like I said, when someone dies here, typically, they would, I mean, dude, I have tons of friends and people on Facebook, and they'll say, happy heavenly birthday to my grandma.
Yeah.
That is our, heaven is a catch-all for us. That's where God lives. That's where we'll go when we die. That's, you know, that's the good place. It's made of gold. There's no crying. There's no weeping.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's our eternal reward, right? That's what we get. And, you know, we've already talked a whole lot that's not what's going on here. This is not the story.
It's almost like, I don't know what the motivations were, but maybe just in the interest of distilling down the message enough to make it stick in people's minds, it just boiled down to that. Because to your earlier point, it's not entirely wrong, I don't think, to call this heaven, but it's not entirely right either. It's just like a very simplified way to look at it. But when you start to really dig into the way that the biblical authors were thinking about this, it becomes pretty clear pretty quickly that they had a much more complex view of what was going on, and that you actually have to do some digging to figure it out. And people don't even have it figured out. It's just, there's some mystery to it, as there are with a lot of things in the Bible. I think Tom, he sums it up by kind of, saying something to the effect of, you know, that time, the interim gap between your bodily death and your bodily resurrection. All we can say for certain is that the spirit that was in you, that animated your body during your life on earth, sustains you in Christ, whatever that means, until the day Christ returns and you are bodily resurrected into new creation, which is the end goal.
Yeah. I think
whatever that means,
whatever that means. Yeah. And I like, what does that look like? I mean, for me, my mind really gets stuck on what he said about like the whole idea of like, he didn't use the word DNA, but mm-hmm. it's what it is. It's like God's fingerprint is all on us. Yeah. Right. And so his spirit has made our spirit. And in much the same way that he made Jesus.
Yeah,
because it's the same concept, right? It's basically the same concept. God is DNA, and he is in us, right? From when we're created as humanity overall, he is in us because he's the creator and we're the created. And in Jesus, he pours more of himself, right? He creates a body because the body is already created from the dust, kind of a deal, right? It's humanity. It's already been created, but he pours more of his spirit into Jesus, right? And anoints Jesus with himself. And so therefore Jesus is, as we've said, is, you know, fully human and fully God, mm-hmm. right? He's God in skin. He's both. He's both. Yeah. So he's our brother. He's also our Messiah. And he's also our King, yeah. and God. So for me, you know, the spirit, when we die, our body going back to where it goes, that, well, we get that, right? We're not going to have a body walking around somewhere. Mm-hmm. And our spirit isn't inanimate. It's not like it's a
ghost.
maybe a ghost or you know, some sort of like, you know, full figured vapor zapparation, as Dan Aykroyd says in Ghostbusters. it is actually connected with God, and so therefore, you know, it doesn't die because God's DNA is in it,
right?
So it can't die. And so it is with God. And I, you know, for me, like what kind of, you know, a whole nother story is like consciousness and all that kind of stuff. Are we aware of stuff? I don't know. Nobody knows.
Yeah.
Not even good old Tom probably knows that. I may have like an idea, but the point is that God is with you. And, and because our very spirit has God's DNA in it already, and therefore, you know, it is connected. Yeah. All humanity, when they die, is still connected to God somehow. And that, and as you say, that spirit lives on until new heaven, new earth is put into full motion and new Eden is done. And that partnership comes back together. And also like when he talks about the Holy Spirit, then, you know, so God's put his spirit into us to create humanity. To create mm-hmm. our spirit. So we have a spirit now, but it's made up from his, right?
Yeah.
He took DNA of frogs and spliced with our DNA, and all of a sudden we're dinosaurs now. Here we are. You know, he's used a little bit of his DNA to create our DNA. And then he uses his full on spirit and pours it into Jesus. And then he takes his full on spirit and pours it into us. So that is different.
Mm-hmm.
That is different. That is something that basically connects us fully to the ecclesia so that, you know, when it's time for bodily resurrection, those who have been fully connected to the ecclesia, to the partnership, now they have a new purpose and a new DNA and a new identity.
They get to participate in new creation.
They get to, they're already part of the partnership. So when Jesus says, okay, cool, well, here's what we're going to do is we're going to resurrect bodies and you get a new body. And we've now we've instituted new heaven and new earth, and which, by the way, live together, because that's what this is. But those who have been marked by the presence of God's spirit in them, that's, they are the ones that, you know, have new identity. And the ones that don't, as we've said before, they have no identity.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's a good deal. I don't know why this came to mind, but I think it was another thing that Tom says in that presentation. But because I think one of the other things you can get caught up on is if you buy that there is going to be an interim gap of time, which I think is well established between your bodily death and bodily resurrection, then your next question is going to be, well, how long am I going to be in this state of being that nobody really can explain? And I think he talks about, well, you know, God exists outside of time to begin with. So if we are going to be, you know, in a state of being, I think he describes it as being hidden in the Messiah during this interim period of time, it could be snap of a finger for all we know, because it's at that point, it's outside of space and time as we know here on Earth.
Yep. I've always kind of thought of the idea of falling asleep, right? You can fall asleep. There's been several times where you fell asleep and your alarm goes off and you're like, oh my gosh, I feel like I just went to sleep. And yes, we know for a fact in God's realm, time does not work like it does here. 1,000 years is like one day, and one day is like 1,000 years. So my thoughts have always been that once I die and my spirit enters into this holding pattern with God, because it's connected with God's spirit, like time just flashes by. Yeah. And it's like I fall asleep dead and I wake up new.
Yeah.
And I think the idea of my relatives, you know, floating above me and watching down on me looking and smiling down on what I'm doing. And some people think, well, you know, a cardinal is a sign of a loved one's spirit coming and saying hello to you. And all those things are, in my opinion, I'm not an expert, obviously, but they seem to be coping mechanisms.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yep. I think that's right.
You know, and is there anything wrong with that? Absolutely not. But if you're hanging your theological hat on those things, you could be in trouble.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that's what's going on. But to me, yes, I look at it and go, I'm probably going to die. And then I'm probably going to instantly wake up with a new body, because Jesus has come and said, it's done. We're done.
Go time.
It's go time.
From the whole Rheology team, we hope these podcasts are encouraging and educational. Rheology exists for three main reasons: to reach, train, and equip those who want to go deeper with God in this partnership called Ecclesia. If God has been stirring in your heart, where you are wondering if there's more than what you've been experiencing in today's 21st century Christianity, we'd love to connect with you, to hear your story, and help you know that you are not alone. You can simply contact us via the website, rheologylife.com, or reach out via Instagram, @rheology_life. Thanks, and we'll see you next time.